This hour, it's the business of Greater Newport. With the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce, we are broadcasting from Chamber headquarters here at Innovate Newport, and our Chamber host, our new member specialist, Laurie Burke.
Top of the morning to you, Bruce.
And the rest of the day to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm just happy that it's sunny again.
Yes, yes.
How did we get so lucky? Got a 3 days this week.
Yeah, got some stuff going on here. Very, very good. Controls. Well, when you are with us, Laurie Burke, we know we're going to meet some new friends because it is a new member spotlight, and we'll get to that. We're going to talk a lot about travel and attractions, including our business of the week, which is brought to you, as always, by Humphrey's Building Supply. And we've been chatting our business of the week at length here. And I make no guarantees that we're going to talk about the business at all. But go ahead and make our official introduction.
Guy's probably like in marketing or something.
Worse than that, he's a record collector and a radio geek.
Yeah. I'm happy to introduce Kevin O'Leary from the Preservation Society, which is our business of the week.
Yes.
Kevin, thanks for coming on the radio.
Imagine
with us.
That. It only took us, I think, 70 years to get here.
I was going to say, yeah. You've probably been the biz of the week a few times.
Could be.
Years. Yeah, since 1990, the Preservation Society has been a valuable member of the chamber.
Well, we love the...
We sure do a lot of events there, so it's a great relationship.
Fantastic. And and having a moment. You talk about, 70 years to become an overnight sensation.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's the long game. That's what we're playing. The very, very long game.
Hundreds. The first 100 years are the hardest.
But, so, yeah, we're thrilled. We're thrilled to have you on with us. Kevin, tell us what's going on with the Preservation Society, PSNC.
What's not going on at the mansions? Well, we're heading into the season.
We are.
And I'm coming up on a one-year anniversary after joining the team at the Preservation Society.
Okay.
Couldn't be happier. It's never ending. So if you've been driving down Bellevue Avenue the last year, you've seen a lot of work being done.
Uh-huh.
Last year we completed a $7.3 million restoration of Rosecliff, which I think most of your listeners are familiar with. And currently we are doing a geothermal installation at Chateau Sur Mer, which is going to cut our fossil fuel bills by 80%. So it'll be our third location. We have geothermal at the Breakers and also at the Scholar Center over at the Elms. And Isaac Bell House is a big project. Windows, shingles,
really?
A lot.
Boy,
and that's the chamber headquarters. And that's with the big statue out in front.
No. That's, you're talking about Narragansett and Bellevue.
Yes.
That's the old St. Catharines. Is that where you work out of, Kevin?
Just before on the right, as you're heading toward Narragansett and Bellevue, on the right is a beautiful American shingle style.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes,
home.
Isaac Bell. And I've made that mistake before, so
I apologize
to you and to Isaac.
It's amazing. And interesting, I haven't been at the PS that long, but... There are several people who know a lot more about history than I do who claim that Isaac Bell may be the most important house in our collection.
Really?
I've heard that said.
Absolutely. I mean, it is really it's the birth of the American shingle style architecture.
Okay.
And people who know a lot more about things like that than I do point to it as sort of a leaping off point for a lot of important things that happen. So anyway, preservation never sleeps, costs a lot of money, so... Thanks to everybody who buys tickets. Thank you to our members, our board of trustees, and every year brings new challenges, but we're here for it.
You're being discovered by so many new people now, thanks to the miniseries. It's not even a miniseries, it's a series.
Absolutely. The Gilded Age has been great. Our friends at HBO have been great. They're good clients and they're respectful, but it's been amazing. It's people come out of the woodwork. There are people who show up for tours in costume.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
I love it.
And we offer a Behind the Gilded Age tour. So we take you to all the different locations where it was filmed, like the Elms, Chateau Sur Mer, and Marble House. So it's a lot of fun. Having HBO on your hip is a good friend to have.
It's not bad. I mean, it brings in an entirely different contingency, for sure. There are so many stories to tell. You just told the story of the Isaac Bell House, which is a fascinating story that you may not, if you're just doing the kind of HBO Gilded Age kind of thing, you may miss. Marble House is a bunch of stories to be told with that Chinese tea house in the backyard.
Absolutely. I mean, Marble House is really the story of, and again, I'm not pretending to be a historian, so this will be my Cliff Notes version. is really the story of Alva Vanderbilt, who was a true Renaissance woman. And Marble House in and of itself, it's a sort of different sort of aspiration. It really is a temple to the arts. Some of the other sort of hero properties were sort of, let's fill it with things so we can look like royalty in Europe,
sure,
or what have you. But Alva marched to a different drummer, and Marble House is emblematic of that for sure.
It really is, and it probably is, has to be at the top of the list of places that those who live here bring people to. You know, this is the show-off place.
Definitely, for sure. I mean, since we were just talking about music and radio,
yes,
I'll describe it this way. We have our arena rock properties.
Yes.
So you have Marble House, The Breakers, Rosecliff, and The Elms, and then I describe them as sort of the indie rock properties. So you've got King's Coast, Chateau-sur-Mer, Chepstow, and some of the others. And, you know, one of the things that my team has been working on is producing content, which is very popular and people can't get enough of it, but to tell the respective stories of each of these homes.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who come in town, if the mansions are their reason for coming, they'll probably go to see more than one home. But for others, where it's a bucket list, they'll normally end up at The Breakers, yeah, or they may make it over to Marble House. But some of the other homes, Kingscote in particular, I mean, Kingscote was the start of the summer cottage colony. It was the first.
Who built that and lived there?
See, I knew you were going to ask me that question, and I don't have my curators here. Lori, what are you doing?
No hard questions, Lori.
But there are lots of stories. I mean, we are, it's almost too much of a good thing, yeah, but we're trying to compile those stories, lean into the unique characteristics of each property, and really motivate people, you know, who had a wonderful experience at, say, The Breakers or at Rosecliff, to discover Chateau-sur-Mer, to discover Kingscote. I mean, I'm surprised that even people in the area who drive down Bellevue, whether they're going to work or they're just getting somewhere, they drive by the Elms and they've never been,
oh, yeah,
to the back of the Elms. It's the most beautiful arboretum of any of our properties.
It would be me.
Oh my gosh.
So embarrassing. It's truly embarrassing.
Well, I've been so lucky in that I've been able to broadcast from so many locations, including that backyard of the Elms, and so many of these places that, and I'm stunned and amazed to find, I am and I'm not, that, you know, there are people who have lived here all of their lives and so forth. Oh, yeah, I've never been there and all that. And so this is your task for this season. If you've never been, come visit. And if you've been to one of the arena rock properties, come go deep and discover one of the indie properties.
Yeah, it's great. It's interesting. You going back to the Gilded Age, you know, the Elms is Mrs. Russell's Newport,
yes,
home. And it's interesting because they green screen it in the show. So it's presented as being on the water.
Right.
But we do, you know, we benefit this.
Is that a story you have to tell or have to untell? Or are there people who come and say, well, wait a minute.
We do it. I mean, we have it on our website. We do a deep dive after each episode last season.
Yes.
We kind of do a dive and say, here's what's historically correct. And here's what you may be seeing, but you won't see if you come in person. But we're definitely benefiting from this. There's a tourism term called set jetting. And people, yes, who go to locations that they've seen in movies or on television, the great thing about the mansions is that they actually say, this is in Newport.
Right.
So there's that advantage. So we certainly look to take advantage of that, but we've got a lot of stories out there that are yet to be told, and we look forward to telling them.
And where can we go to find out more?
You can go to newportmansions.org.
Excellent.
All sorts of information. And if you have any questions, you can email us at info@newportmansions.org.
Fantastic. And of course, we go inside the Newport Mansions once a month here on WADK. And we are always happy to get the word out about what is going on. When's the flower show?
Oh, the flower show. That's a good question. The flower show is June 21st to 23rd. And our annual wine and food festival is September 20th. To 22nd. If I can squeeze in one more plug,
please do.
We have a fantastic, speaking of stories of the Gilded Age, we've got a fantastic exhibition on view currently at Rosecliff, Gilded Age Newport in Color.
Yes.
Produced in collaboration with the Rhode Island Black Heritage Society, and it is an exhibit that covers the African heritage diaspora that existed,
yes,
in Newport during the Gilded Age. Fascinating story.
Really is.
Really, it was a coexistence relationship with the European contingent that,
yeah,
lived on Bellevue Avenue. And it's a story of entrepreneurs, doctors, hoteliers, caterers, and professionals. So I encourage people to go
and
see.
And there's a podcast of that kind of outlining that entire exhibit with Keith Stokes that Trudy did, and I think Bill Tavares did with Sonny as well. And if you visit, I think it's on the Mansion's website. It's on the Mansion social media for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a great list, two great listens.
And Keith and Teresa will be lecturing as part of this exhibit next month at Rosecliff.
Fantastic.
So encourage people to attend that.
So much going on.
Wow. A lot going on.
Oh, man. All right. Kevin O'Leary. Great to have you as Business of the Week.
Thanks, Bruce.
We're delighted. Come
Thanks,
back
Lori.
And see us.
Welcome.
It's the Business of Greater Newport. It is the Business of Greater Newport. We do it every Thursday in this hour. We're broadcasting today from Chamber Headquarters here at Innovate Newport. Lori Burke, our new member specialist, is our Chamber host with the first of our new members.
Yes, and I'm thrilled to introduce my one of my new members, but also he's kind of my friend now because I see him all the time. In fact, I just saw him yesterday, Ken Gauss of Custom Newport Chores. Good morning, Ken. Thanks for coming on the radio.
Well, good morning, Lori and Bruce. Thank you for having me. It's
Welcome.
A pleasure to be with you.
Yes. So I'm going to let you, as you're very good at it, tell us all about Custom Newport Chores right off the bat, Ken. The background, how it got started, how it's
you
going.
Betcha.
Okay.
Yeah, we just got started here a couple of months ago officially with the state. We've been organizing it for 3 or 4 years. I have a partner, Norman Desmaris. The two of us have both 10 plus years of tour guiding experience. Included in that for me was 4 years at the Naval War College Museum. Norman actually has quite a Revolutionary War background, has written 17 books on the Revolutionary War. And we've been doing tours mostly for cruise ships. And we felt that we'd like to, well, one of our mottos is have more fun. And more fun is being able to interact with the people and answer questions and really cater the tours to what people want who are coming to Newport. You could take a bus or you could take a trolley or a canned walking tour. Mm-hmm. But we design tours specifically for people. It could be anywhere from 2 hours to all day. And so that's what we're about, to try to give you a unique experience. And part of that is we like to feel that we have stories behind the stories. Mm-hmm. So you've heard a lot of stories about the Breakers or the Vanderbilts or Newport history. But for instance, here's a story behind the story. This is a very historic week for Newport, April 21st. 1524, Giovanni Verrazzano sailed into Newport Harbor. We're at the 500th anniversary of that. He said, what a fantastic looking harbor. And he said, it looks to him like the Isle of Rhodes in the Mediterranean, a crescent-shaped harbor. That's how we got our name, Rhode Island.
That's
named
a,
after
another
the Isle of Rhodes.
Yes, and Ken, this all sounds so familiar. How could that be? What a coincidence. I just heard this yesterday because the Chamber went on a tour with Ken and Norm, and we had a fabulous, fun time, and it was just great. And then we got to hear the story about Giovanni.
Giovanni.
Yep.
The other thing that it just a sort of a little background that I've put together, I call it the four R's of rebellious Rhode Island. I don't know if people have thought of the Rhode Island as being really rebellious, but the four R's, the first R is we were founded, the whole state was founded on religious freedom. Roger Williams started that in the 1630s. Newport was founded 1639. 1663, Roger goes back to the King of England to get a charter for the colony of Rhode Island. And our charter is the only colonial charter that mentions religious freedom. So through the 1600s, we had a very extensive Jewish population, Quaker population, and various other religions. Rhode Island also attracted what I might call a free-spirited group of people. And by the early 1700s, we were starting to be known as Rogue Island. Have you heard that name before, Rogue Island?
Yeah.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rogue Island. So that's the second R. The Rogue's favorite pastime by far was alcohol production. Rhode Island was the center of alcohol production in the colonies. The favorite alcohol produced here was rum, the third R. And the rum was used in the triangle trade. Tremendously profitable and totally immoral. Rum from Rhode Island or Newport to Africa traded for the slaves. The slaves to the West Indies traded for sugarcane and molasses. And then back to Rhode Island to produce the rum. So extremely profitable because you made a profit on each leg of the trade. I don't know if it's that well known, but over the half of the slave ships during the slaving period came from Rhode Island, particularly Newport and Bristol. So there's the first three R's. The fourth R was sort of an outgrowth of that. I call it revolutionary zeal. A lot of it was just a desire not to pay taxes. You know, our sister state here, Massachusetts, claims the first shot fired in Revolutionary War at Lexington and Concord. But actually here in 1772, a group of, we might call them patriots, chased a British revenue cutter, but the Gaspee, sailing up and down Narragansett Bay, collecting taxes, stealing things. And this group went out in a schooner. The Gaspee chased it and ran aground. They then went out and convinced the British that they could surrender or they could be burned alive. And the British were taken off and the Gaspee was burned to the waterline, 1772. The last little tidbit of revolutionary zeal, we actually as a state have a different Independence Day. The colonial legislature declared independence on May 4th, 1776. As I like to say, just couldn't wait to get away from the British and paying taxes. And then the tax theme followed through in the ratification of the Constitution. We were the last colony to ratify the Constitution, just not real desirous of joining the Union and potentially paying taxes. So those are some of the stories that some of you might have heard. Some heard yesterday, Lori. There's probably three or four dozen stories, depending on the groups, and we try to leave people with some sort of thought about what's going on here in Rhode Island and particularly in Newport.
Yeah, it was really eye-opening, and we really enjoyed ourselves on the tour yesterday, Ken. You guys do a fabulous job, and you have a lot of experience behind you, and you can tell a story pretty much better than anybody I've heard recently.
Well, thank you so much, Lori. And our company, I don't want to say we're driven, but we're pretty much organized around our website, Custom Newport Tours. It gives you an overview of the whole company. We suggest about 7 or 8 different type of tours, just as an example. But what we really encourage you to do is to send us some information. And we like to talk to everyone and try to customize your tour for you.
About how much lead time do you need to develop a tour, Ken?
Excuse me?
How much lead time do you need to develop such a tour because you're customizing these tours?
Well, you know, that is a great question, Bruce. Ideally, we would like a week or more. It's somewhat for us, but with probably half of our tours, we're going to be paired with a limo company.
Okay.
And you know, for them, getting last day requests or is very tough to provide a limo service. We, if we're just going to do a walking tour or what we call sort of a hybrid tour, walking and short driving where we would drive you, we could probably do that on 1 or 2 days' notice. As long as, you know, maybe we're not in the middle of the summer or the fall, which is the busiest season.
Excellent.
So we try to encourage people, you know, go to the website. If you're thinking of coming in a week or two or a month, you know, we're not going to charge you to talk with us. And let's see if we can develop something. And then if you want to book it right then and there, if it needs pairing with a limo company, we can do that. Or we can just set you up. The other thing I want to mention, my partner speaks fluent French and Italian. Mm. So we offer those tours, and we have another gentleman who's affiliated with us who speaks German.
Excellent. Give us that website one more time, Ken Gauss.
Yeah, Custom Newport Tours. And our motto is...
Is that a .org, a .com?
A .com, yes, I'm sorry.
CustomNewportTours.com, excellent. Mm-hmm. And
CustomNewportTours.com. And our motto is customize your Newport adventure.
Sounds good to us.
Yep,
we
it was great.
It. Good to have you with us, Ken. Thanks very, very much. All the best to you and to Norm, who's been on with us from during Small State Big History many, many times. Good to talk to you, sir.
Thank you, Ken.
And welcome as a new member of the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce. It is the business of Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce. Here at Chamber Headquarters, Innovate Newport, we're meeting new members. Lori Burke, who is next?
Well, let's switch gears a little bit here from preservation and mansions and touring and get down to brass tacks with Carly Gordon from New England Enrollment Strategies.
And
thanks
Colonial
for coming,
Life.
Carly.
Thank you.
Otherwise known as Colonial Life.
Yes.
Yep, yep. And I'm just chit-chatting with Carly a little bit about her chamber experience, and she told me that she's already reaping benefits from her membership.
I am.
She's a member of Chamber Connections, one of our offshoots, our networking group that meets mm-hmm. here at Innovate. So, Carly, go ahead. Take it away. Tell us about New England Enrollment Strategies and why it's good to do business with you.
Well, realistically, we're just an agency of Colonial Life, mm-hmm. and Colonial Life is a benefit company. What we do is we're able to offer benefits to the employees through employer groups.
Okay.
So if you're an HR or you're a business owner, you know, you would set up an account with us, but it doesn't cost you any money, okay, for benefits to be offered to your employees.
Okay.
Your employees actually pay for these benefits through payroll deduction. Mm-hmm. So all the employer has to do is payroll deduct it, and then once a month send us the money that they've collected.
Okay.
That simple, that easy.
Hmm.
So there's no cost to the employer, which is great. Uh-huh. Small businesses, medium businesses, even large businesses, they can't afford the benefits. And I'm talking about, when I talk about benefits, I'm talking about short-term disability,
okay,
life insurance, critical illness, dental, vision, accident, and medical bridge.
Uh-huh.
Medical bridge is a sleeper product because this is one that would cover your deductible if you have to go in the hospital.
Okay.
No one has money sitting in their bank accounts anymore. Most people are living paycheck to paycheck.
Except for Lori.
Cha-ching!
If you have to go into the hospital and you have to pay your medical deductible,
mm-hmm.
nobody has that. That's a couple $1,000s or up to $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. So we have this medical bridge project that would actually give that to you.
Okay.
If you had to go into the hospital, if you had to have an outpatient surgery.
Is that a, Carly, is that a, asking for a friend, is that a, how does that work with a surgical procedure that may not require a hospital stay?
In outpatient surgery, we can have that covered too.
Sorry.
Okay. The outpatient surgery, we can have that covered too, so that they would be getting some money for that as well. So if they had to have that or a diagnostic procedure, we can give them some money to be able to pay for, to help them with out-of-pocket expenses.
Is it an advance payment or is it a reimbursement?
It is a reimbursement. Okay. Usually it's a reimbursement. But we have things like short-term disability, which, yes, Rhode Island has TDI for most people. Some people don't have it. Some people do have it. That's only around for 12 weeks,
mm-hmm.
okay? If you're going to have, if something like you had to have a surgery or you got hurt, or you're usually going to be out more than just the 3 months. So you're going to need short-term disability to help you out with that, to help mm-hmm. you pay your bills. Short-term disability is there to protect your paycheck.
Okay.
There you go.
So that's the good thing about us. And the number one thing Colonial does mm-hmm. is they pay their claims, all right? There's a lot of other people out there that might try to get around it and say, oh no, we need to see this or we need to see that. We're very, very simple, very easy. Claims process is very simple and easy as uh-huh. well, mm-hmm. right online, most of it. And we're going to turn around and pay you as soon as
so,
we can.
So Carly, if an employer signs on to be a carrier for Colonial, does this benefit package, do the employees get to pick which ones they want? How does that work?
They do. The employer decides what benefits they have. Maybe they already have a dental plan. Mm-hmm. Maybe they already, you know, might have a vision plan, or they might have something else where they don't need to offer all of these benefits. They can decide which benefits they want to offer or not. Then when we sit down with the employee, we do that on a one-on-one basis. Wow, okay. It usually takes about 20 minutes to go over the different benefits. And we're going to ask them things like, you know, are you married? Do you have kids? You know, what...
Right, because they might not know what they should be getting
exactly.
as a benefit.
Yep. And so then we're going to sit there and take the time and learn about them so that we can help them say, oh, yeah, well, this might be a plan that you need.
Okay.
Oh, you've got some kids. They're active kids. Great. They're jumping on all the furniture. They're breaking, you know, they're falling over furniture and breaking bones or whatever else might happen. That's somebody who might need an accident plan.
Okay, so the different employees can have a different benefit plan. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good Absolutely. To know, too. It's not a blanket, you know, you got to pay for this, even
and
though you don't need it.
You can have yourself, the employee, the spouse, mm-hmm. and the children, dependent mm-hmm. children. They can all be on the plans,
wow, that's
on wonderful. Most plans except for short-term disability. Because you have to have a job, and most kids don't have jobs.
So your role with Colonial is to go out and talk to the employer, I'm thinking,
yes,
right?
To talk to the employer, yep. talk to HR professionals, uh-huh. And let them know that we have these benefits available and that we do like to come out and talk to people. And we'd like to sit down with their employees to see what they might need.
Uh-huh.
And I also do a lot of enrolling as well. So I'm the one who would go out and sit with them. If you've got, you know, depending on the size, it might be just me. It might be a few other people with mm-hmm. me to sit down. And whatever time you need to have me there is great. I do have one coming up in a couple weeks. And they want me there at 7 a.m. And I said, fine. And I'm bringing homemade muffins to them.
Nice.
So that's breakfast.
Do you have to go over the bridge for that?
Of course I do.
Uh-huh. Okay. typical client, Carly, who would be
typical
like size of company, that type of thing?
Size of company is anything under, you know, 500 employees.
Okay.
Is my favorite size. We uh-huh. take up to 20,000, but, you know.
There aren't too many of those in Rhode Island.
And usually it is... more, we call it the gray collar worker, but it's blue collar worker, you know, the people that really need these things.
Uh-huh.
They don't have the savings account waiting there
right,
that
right,
to
right.
handle all those unexpected costs.
Sure, sure, sure. So that's a really, really wonderful benefit that the employer can offer these people who are working so hard for that company.
Yep.
And the fact that it doesn't cost the employer anything is phenomenal,
you
like
bet.
No brainer.
And
right?
guess what? It's great for retention and recruitment as well.
I bet.
Absolutely. I mean, absolute must. Sure. We have about a minute. How do we find out more about Colonial Life?
All you have to do is call me 401-539-2990. I'm around. You can shoot me an email. My email's too hard to c.gordon@neenrollment.com. That's my easiest email. I have numerous emails, but you know.
Yeah, just go to New England Enrollment Strategies.
And
give Carly a call.
Well, we're so glad to have you as a member.
Thank you. I'm enjoying membership here.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
That's what we want
to hear.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back. It is the business of Greater Newport. Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce. If you want to find out about membership, all of the events and programs, just visit newportchamber.com. Lori Burke, new member specialist. We are meeting some exciting folks who are sending us to some exciting places.
We certainly are. We're saving one of the best for last here because I'm introducing Michael Musumeci from Cruise Planners. Good morning, Michael. Thanks for coming on the radio.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Bruce, I mean, your company, like I said, is Cruise Planners. You are an independent franchise owner of this business, Michael. Why don't you tell us all you can about Cruise Planners?
So I'll start off with saying, you know, there's power in having a worldwide organization that did $1 billion in volume last year. That's
okay.
the organization that I'm plugged into. But you still get that mom and pop kind of small business feel, concierge service, because I'm the person you're dealing with directly. We handle cruise, ocean-going cruises and river cruises worldwide, as well as destination travel, like all-inclusive resorts like Sandals, or just a simple hotel stay. And then lastly, escorted tours. So if you wanted to travel someplace really far and wide like Italy, I could arrange a nice itinerary personalized that would take you to all the hot spots so that you skip the lines and have the best experience.
Awesome. That's great. So you do a lot of, you have, it's not just one stop. You do many different things with the cruising world.
Travel concierge is what I like to tell people.
That's a good way to say it. Yep. And where do you get your travelers from, Michael?
They come from a range of different sources. First and foremost, and most importantly, is word of mouth and repeat and, you know, referral business. Mm-hmm. That is the pillar of my business. Mm-hmm. Secondly, some social media, you know, interest. People see a piece of content and then they chime in and, you know, a question or a comment turns into a booking pretty simply after nice. They talk with me.
Do you have a lot of repeat customers, Michael?
You know, believe it or not, yeah. I'm rolling on to second and third voyages for some clients that I have for sure.
That's awesome. And where, yeah. for as an example, where have these folks gone just for fun?
So many of my clients love the Caribbean, obviously, because of the temperatures and mm-hmm. you know that nice beaches to walk on. But Bermuda is also another great place that many of my clients like to go to because sure. it's proximity and ease to get to. It's a yep. relatively short voyage, and you get to spend 2 to 3 days in Bermuda with as one stop. And lastly, some of my clients, they travel out to Alaska.
Okay.
And that has been a destination that has been sought after. Many people are moving their bucket lists to their to-do lists and yep. making things happen sooner on that level.
Yep, that makes sense. I've heard a lot about Alaska and Bermuda, actually. You're getting my traveling juices flowing. I would like to go to these places, too.
I'm at your service.
What is your background, Michael, with planning cruises and traveling, things like that? What made you do this?
So my passion and background goes back, you know, more than 20 years with cruising particularly because I took my first voyage. And once you feel the experience, you want to tell other people about it. So it started off with just referring people to another, service provider like myself mm-hmm. and just coaching people. You need to experience this. You need to experience this all the while, you know, not being particularly part of the industry, but having an incredible amount of passion for it. And then I decided to make a change from real estate to travel because it's always in my blood.
Yeah.
And it's my true passion and calling. So now I'm from here, I'm sailing from here into the sunset as a travel advisor to serve people worldwide.
And the boats, the ships, whatever you call them, what are they? Are there different ones?
They're called ships.
There are absolutely different types of ships. So there's everybody that is kind of attuned into the cruise travel industry right now has heard of the Icon of the Seas. That's the largest cruise ship that is currently sailing with, passengers, the largest passenger vessel.
What's that called, Michael?
I'm sorry?
What's that ship called?
The Icon.
Icon, okay.
Hmm. Yeah, it's so large, it has different neighborhoods.
What?
And some would say the temperature and atmosphere in those different neighborhoods changes. It's so large. You could almost walk from here to Bermuda or Block Island on that ship.
Oh, my goodness.
7,500 guests and 3,500 crew. And so, you know, just about, at the end of the day, that's the largest, but that's one example. Then goes all the way down to your small river cruising vessels,
ooh,
which have less than 1,000 passengers on there. So it's more of a boutique, personalized experience. And everywhere in between, for just about every price point there is, a cruise vacation is achievable.
Wow. That's so cool. And so how much would you say is, people staying sort of close to home versus really like, okay, I'm out of here for, you know, a month.
I apologize one more time.
I'm just trying to wonder the people that connect with you for cruise planners to do
what's the length? What's the most popular?
Yeah. What is the most popular?
Most popular length of their time is a 7-night cruise.
7-night.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah. And then, you know, probably 30% of my clients go for the, 4, 5, and 6-night cruise because they get to sneak away a shorter amount of time, but they mm-hmm. can do it, you know, 2 or 3 times a year. A lot of my clients, they only have one vacation week and we squeeze that 7 days in and that's about it. But the sweet spot is 9 days, in my opinion.
Hmm.
If you can take the time.
Right.
What should we look for, Michael, in terms of finding a value? The all-inclusive, including airfare, or are we better off finding our own airfare? What do you recommend?
So when it comes to airfare, I coach my clients. I don't personally, you know, book the airfare, but I set up reminders for all my clients when to book, what's the best value, you know, when to time the booking so that it really has their itinerary flow. And I think that you were alluding to, you know, what would be like cost advantage, or like how would I add value tangibly to the experience? Mm-hmm. And that is summed up in a few different ways. So our buying power as a large organization doing $1 billion in volume, we're able to set aside what's called groups, and that helps us secure a price, which allows me to deliver discounts to all my, you know, most of my clients. If it's not a school vacation, 5 to 15% discount across the board on all retail pricing. So you look at Royal Caribbean's website, my price would be 5 to 15% less, plus have amenities to it. And the second part that's really important, my services are at no cost to the clients. The vendor pays me directly from the fee that is decided on.
Okay. Hmm. Sounds like you're the person to connect with if someone wants to go on a cruise.
There's one more thing. The good things come in threes. So the third thing is, one call does it all. You don't have to call the cruise line. You don't have to call this one or that one. You call me for any request, and I take care of it. So I'm your concierge from the moment you walk out your door till the moment that you step back home.
That's awesome, Michael. I'm thrilled to have you on board, and it sounds like a fun job to boot.
I love it. It's you know, not everything is all roses every day, but at the same time, it's a true passion of mine, and there's no other business I'd rather be in.
Right, and when they get home and they say that was the best week of my life, it must be very rewarding for you.
I get paid in two ways, and one is, you know, obviously the cruise lines, they pay me directly a commission for bringing the sale. And then the second way is I feed my soul with just what you mentioned. Mm-hmm. When the clients share with me the joy they're experiencing, that's the goodness. That's why I'm in the business.
Nice. So we have about a minute. How can we find out more about booking a cruise with you?
So I am Cruise Advisor Mike, and my website is cruiseadvisormike.com. You can go there and you can search for a cruise, and you can call me on my cell phone directly, 401-212-0632. That's my direct line.
Excellent. Well,
great.
You've definitely given the bug to Lori. She's about to book with you any second now.
I'm out of here.
At your service. I'm here to serve you when you're ready.
Fantastic. Well, we certainly have a lot to think about, and we're so glad to talk to you. Thanks very much. Welcome to the chamber. All the best to you.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you so much.
Okay.